Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you. And we've got my very good friend, Mr. Willie Cantu, retired police officer from the San Antonio Police Department. And I wanted to reach out to Willie because there have been some disturbing discussions or rumors or evidence of some exit interviews. There has been some heavy discussion about some exit interviews by police officers, some high-ranking ones, who are very, very critical of the San Antonio Police Department and what is going on with the city in support or not supporting the San Antonio Police Department. So I wanted to get Willie on and ask him, what does he know? What's going on? What is this all about? Willie, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us, my friend.
You bet, George. I'm always happy to be here with you.
All right, so tell us about these exit interviews. First of all, what is an exit interview? What's it all about? And what has been happening that some of them apparently are so critical of the police department and the city?
Exit interviews are administrative process and organization. I imagine, you know, other organizations have them, or they should have them, and as should other police departments. And what it is when someone retires, and I would even say leaves the unit, you know, in management. I don't think it really have to be just management. I mean, you would want to hear from people that left a unit and ask them specific questions about, you know, their thoughts on working there and the problems that there may be, and, you know, maybe even some solutions. But to me, they're more important of the upper administration and, you know, like SAPD, of course. And what's happened with these exit interviews, some are actually formalized types of documents, and they're not rumors. You know, I know you said rumors and stuff. They're real. They're out there, and I've seen them. They've been divvied out to a select few recently, and what's kind of sparked the flame there is a letter that was written. And it was addressed to the city of San Antonio, and it's anonymous. There's three other exit interviews that I know of that we know the authors, but this one is anonymous, and they claim to be a captain. Now, we don't know if it's a retired captain. The other exit interviews are retired administrators. They are retired. This one here, we don't know if they're active or they're retired. You know, they didn't sign them. But they all, and the reason it's blown up is because this letter has been circulated pretty much throughout the police department and among the ranks. And, you know, now with social media, it's so easy. And people have seen them. And I kind of got, took it for granted that people were so surprised about it because I'd already seen the other exit interviews. You know what I mean? So then questions started coming to me about, hey, what's that? Have you seen this? I mean, it was sent to me so many times, George, and I appreciate that for people doing that. You know, they want me because they know, you know, you and I speak, and they know I have my own podcast and I can speak about it because I'm retired. I don't have to have any fear of retaliation from the administration like they do. And it came to light, and they all echo the same thing. It's all about the management and lack of leadership under William McManus, the chief of police of San Antonio. And they echo the same thing, and most of it is his arrogance. You see it in just about every document. Surrounds himself with yes people. I don't want to say yes men, because some of them are women. And all he cares about is his own image within the city. And so with that, obviously these people aren't included in decision making, and a lot of these people that are up in the upper administration, they're really smart, and they had aspirations, you know, to be professionals and run things the right way. And I mean, they're a lot them have masters because they're supposed to when they get up there. They're very educated people, but when they see things that aren't run as they would expect, then they have concerns. And then when they see the results of the lack of that, they're really concerned.
Now, in Washington, we've been seeing how Trump has taken on what we call the swamp, the establishment that works for politics, not for the people. Is there a similar situation with regards to the police department, that some of these leaders are more interested in the politics than they are in the public safety issues?
That's a very good comparison, George. Yes, definitely. As we've seen in the nation, and you know, even more so, all the things that were lied about and they were, you know, the media tried to protect the bad decisions by not inflating them or not talking about them and things like that. And now that Trump is making these changes, huge changes, you know, and daily, it's awesome. You're starting to see how bad things really, really were. And the show's just begun with that. But in comparison, like you said, to San Antonio, it sounds like there is a swamp. And as we've seen, and I've been not cautioned, but you know, some people they don't like to be pointed out, you know, or like to take sides. Well, at this point, and with this war on police, officers getting injured and shot and disrespected all the time, that is the Democrats and the leftists' fault. So yeah, I'm gonna call it out. And San Antonio is a leftist blue city, right? You know that.
Yes.
And our city government is mostly Democrat. City council is mostly Democrat, so they hire city managers that are Democrats, and they make decisions accordingly, as we saw across the nation. So I'm not going to say it's specific just to SAPD, because we know that all these other problems exist across the nation and other departments. But they're not my concern. My concern is the department that I retired from, that I loved, that I have good friends and former colleagues and relatives that still work in this city. And, you know, they followed the trend, and it's still going. I mean, what's going to change in San Antonio? I know I don't want to get off on a different vein, but we still have a leftist government. We have a Soros-bought DA. We have a Democrat sheriff who's admitted, you know, he went up to the DNC and endorsed Kamala. And Chief McManus, he all he cares about his image. He's only going to go with the status quo, and it's just cowardly.
What is it in these exit interviews? What are they saying, and why are they saying it?
Well, first and foremost, you know, what you see the problems with were they stopped doing these exit interviews after they started seeing things that they didn't want to see, you know what I mean? So we're doing an exit interview to find out, you know, the issues and work on them. Well, they were getting a bunch of bad ones, so they're like, well, we just won't do them. And that's kind of how it was run. But then they would do them just to kind of have a document to get negative feedback on someone that they just wanted to get rid of, you know what I mean? So it was easier to do that. It was a kind of gaming the system. But They all talk about, again, McManus's ego, and all he cared about was his image. Anytime they would bring up morale issues, and obviously if they did, you know, because it was mentioned, it was a lot, he would dismiss them, and he would say that the morale is the responsibility of the field supervisors. Well, field supervisors are sergeants, and you know, you'd have a lieutenant and a captain, but you know, it's ultimately, it trickles down from his office. And so he would just, you know, just parry that off. And what I'm hearing, and you and I have talked about this before, there's no process for the way he divvies out discipline. It just depends, like, if he likes you or not. And not whether your actions or those actions were lawful or within, you know, the policy guidelines and things like that. And like, you know, I do expert testimony with some attorneys, and I see all the documents. What I'm seeing is a lot of times when they do indict, or, well, chief doesn't have anything to do with really the indictment necessarily, but they do have something to do with the charges. They only investigate to display the wrongdoing or the offense by the officer, not the full investigation as they should. That's what I'm seeing particularly. And if it's not, if there's not any criminal charges related to it, they're usually just administrative. They are just kind of, I would say, over exaggerated, and the and they don't really put a lot of work into seeing if the actions of the officers were actually justified, which they usually are, because three officers have already had their cases dismissed, and now they're just waiting for their jobs back and going through arbitration. And if they go to arbitration, you're hearing that the chief, as one of them that we talked about before, he didn't have any good grasp of all the facts. He just kind of made an off-the-cuff decision to fire him. And he did it here recently on another one.
Now, in this situation, if it affects the morale, and if it affects, in my opinion, if it affects the morale, it's going to affect their work ethic. It's going to affect how they carry out their duties. Is that the case? And are we? And how does that affect public safety in general?
Well, you know me. You know, I'm not. I look at the bigger picture, and I will not put all the blame on this department and the administration, because, like I've said, it is just the nature of the beast that's going on right now in the nation. And hopefully, with a different DOJ and obviously a different FBI, departments will feel less pressured to, you know, act due to just politics and just do the right thing. So that's one thing that's killed the morale of law enforcement. The other is, there's things within the department, and obviously the DOJ or the FBI doesn't get involved with, you know, a fraction of the issues that happen within SAPD. So our department is, they are overinflating certain things, and they're, kind of relate it to killing a gnat with a shotgun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a small issue, and they overreact to it. And to me, it's just, it's self-preservation, that they don't want to be looked upon, especially in San Antonio. You know, we have these anti-police crybabies that, you know, they always want an officer held accountable. Well, a lot of times, if you don't like their actions, and obviously because it hurts your feelings, you know, it doesn't mean it was wrong. But this chief, what he's shown is that he is firing these officers to appease them. And that way he washes his hands from them, and then they have to go, thankfully, through our contract. We were able to go through arbitration, and they're able to fight for their jobs back and have an independent arbitrator, someone neutral, review all the facts. And lately, these officers have been winning their jobs back, and they're finding that they should have never been fired to begin with. So obviously it kills those officers' morale, but, you know, their friends, their colleagues, other people hear about it. Everybody's just afraid to do anything. You know, even officers that are doing everything justified, doing the right thing, how do you go out and do your job knowing that even if you do the right thing, you're going to get in trouble? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest issues with these officers. So it makes them look lazy because they don't want to do anything. And that's why crime is so high. They're not driving around looking for suspicious activity, because they might get in trouble.
They're not being proactive.
Oh, no, not at all. And the ones that want to, you know, they're really rolling the dice every day. I hear it all the time. I talk to these officers daily. Lots of times, whether I run into them or through text, you know, it's always like, hey, did you hear this? Or let me tell you about that. You know, some things I can't just jump on a podcast and talk about. You know, it's kind of an anomaly, but
yeah.
I hear it a lot. So that's what's going on with police work. And it's across the nation, not just in San Antonio.
Yeah, right. We've seen it. We've talked about how other cities are really hurting, even worse than San Antonio. So what needs to happen? I mean, what can be gleaned? What can be learned from these exit interviews, and what needs to be done?
Well, someone needs to take them seriously and quit playing politics. And so my take on what needs to be done, and I hate to sound like such a Debbie Downer or pessimist, which I really am. I'm always a pessimist, but we're a long ways from what's happened in this country. Like I mentioned, we still have a leftist city government. Those people have to leave. They have to be voted out. You know, we have Nuremberg's, you know, his tenure is almost done. If you replace him with another Democrat, you're still going to have a circus because there's going to be another clown. And then, of course, you know, the city, they're going to have the same city management, and we're still going to try to play these leftists, do the will of the leftist, you know, agenda. That's what we're under right now. And that needs to change, number one. And then once you start changing them, then they can hire a chief that actually is, you know, wanting to do something and work and share the responsibilities throughout the department. That's how you, you know, I'm not an administrator, and I know that, you know, you know that you do the right thing and you're fair to the men and women, because we're all, you know, grown men and women. Yeah, every once in a while someone does something stupid or, you know, unlawful, and you got to fix it. That's in every profession, and you fix it. But you don't go looking for something or doing something to officers just to appease the leftist police haters. And again, that's what is going on in this city. And, you know, you know how it is. You know, they perform the definition of insanity. They try the same things, expecting for different outcomes when it's not working. And, you know, that we're stuck. We're like stuck in the mud, spinning our wheels with what's going on here. So, as you're saying, and without getting too long-winded, but you saw how much they fought the appointment of Pete Hegseth in the military, right?
Right.
Well, Pete Hegseth is a boots-on-the-ground soldier. He is a warrior. You know, he fought. He knows what military readiness, what's necessary for military readiness. He knows it, and he's respected by the men because they knew he walked the walk. Well, we don't have that in San Antonio. They need someone that the men and women knew walk the walk, you know, talk the talk and walks the walk, and knows what these officers need. And this chief, he doesn't have it. He'll claim he's got all this experience, but he sure in the hell hasn't displayed it.
Yeah. Well, final conclusion. Let's give a final conclusion here for the folks. In your opinion, an election coming up in May. What do you think needs to happen to make this situation better?
We need to have, again, we need to have someone that's not going to play partisan politics. That is what's destroyed this nation. And just be fair across the board, especially when it comes down to police work. I have my own podcast, and we interviewed Manny Pelias, who's current councilman, and he's a mayoral candidate. And what he had to say, you know, was way different than what we're seeing. You know, he wants an effective police department. He wants the best police department. You don't get to shoot at my officers. You know, I don't want a kinder, gentler department. You know, that's wow. You know, that's a great thing to hear. Of course, the proof is in the pudding. If he wins, is he going to do it? You know, despite all these haters saying stuff. So we need that type of change, and I haven't done my research on all the rest of the mayoral candidates, but you know, I'm trying to hopefully get some of them on the podcast. But if, as you're seeing with, you know, our current government in the United States, that party, the Democrats, they are being overrun now, and even some of them are turning and kind of joining the ranks here. They're going along with what, you know, Trump is doing. And I tell you, the big deal that will work, and as you're seeing too, is this peace through strength. We can't be those kinder, gentler cops and expect respect, you know, from criminals, people that are hell bent on doing harm.
Very well.
We have, yep. We have to regain that. And I got flack for it, but this respect for the strength, you know, their fear of consequences.
That's right. That's right.
And then we're, that's what we need to get back to.
Speak softly, but carry a big stick.
100%. But, you know,
we've heard that constantly through history. But the liberals don't seem to understand that.
No, because they don't have the character to even see what's necessary. Not everything is, you know, unicorns and rainbows, and they live in that world, you know, and they expect that if you're just nice to someone, even the worst person, then they're going to comply, and that doesn't happen. You know, there's just some evil, rotten people in this world.
Yep.
And you know, I'm not saying to leave them in the dust and don't care about them, because we have other groups of people that care enough to try to help them. By all means, go do it.
But that's not the role of the police officer.
It's not the role of the police officer. And I don't need to pander to somebody because you don't want me to hurt them or kill them at the risk of my own life or my other officers' lives or the civilians' lives. That's not my job. And we have all the justifications to act, but officers just don't do it because they're not being trained that way, and they're getting in trouble for actually doing things that they're justified in doing.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Buddy, tell the people where they can follow you so they can listen to your podcast, and then we'll talk about this coming week. We'll talk about the issue of this shooting and what happened with these seven officers getting hurt.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, George, it's been a little while since you and I have done one.
Yes, it is.
Happy New Year. I miss you, buddy. You know, we get busy on our own stuff. So I have my Blue Wolf podcast, and that's BLU with no E, Wolf podcast, and you can find me on YouTube. And we're starting to gain steam. I brought in he started out as a guest, and now he's a partner. And he is retired captain from the SAPD, who's very knowledgeable, very educated, and we gel very well together. And we're even thinking about bringing someone else in. So we're growing, and we're excited about it. We're getting more listeners because people like what we have to say, and we don't sound like we're not disgruntled. We both finished our careers graciously, and I had a great career. And I've even said time and time again, Chief McManus treated me fairly when I was on the department. You know what I mean? So I don't have a bone to pick with him because of that. So anybody that says that, that's, they're just wrong and they haven't listened to the podcast. But I don't care about them. But we are growing listeners all the time. And you and I need to do more, George.
That's great. That's great. Folks, we've been chatting with my good friend, Mr. Willie Cantu, retired police officer from San Antonio. And Willie, let's get together again real soon, and we can chat some more about what is happening in our public safety here in our backyards.
I'm ready when you are.
All righty. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.